Joseph Ellison Timaan Valley. Book 2, Chapter 5 of the Ecclesiastical History of England by the Venerable Bede. In the year of our Lord 616, which is the 21st year after Augustine, and his company were sent to preach to the English nation, Ethelbert, king of Kent, having most gloriously governed his temporal kingdom 56 years, entered into the eternal joys of the kingdom of heaven. He was the third of the English kings who ruled over all the southern provinces that are divided from the northern by the river Humber and the borders contiguous to it, but the first of all that ascended to the heavenly kingdom. The first who had like sovereignty was Aedhle, king of the South Saxons. The second, Caelin, king of the West Saxons, who in their own language is called Solin. The third, as has been said, was Ethelbert, king of Kent. The fourth was Redwald, king of the East Angles, who, even in the lifetime of Ethelbert, had been acquiring the leadership for his own race. The fifth was Edwin, king of the Northumbrian nation, that is, of those who live in the district to the north of the river Humber. His power was greater. He had the overlordship over all the nations who inhabit Britain, both English and British, except only the people of Kent, and he reduced also under the dominion of the English the Mevanian islands of the Britons, laying between Ireland and Britain. The sixth was Oswald, the most Christian king of the Northumbrians, whose kingdom was within the same bounds. The seventh, his brother Oswy, ruled over the kingdom of like extent for a time, and for the most part subdued and made tributary the nations of the Picts and Scots, who occupy the northern parts of Britain. But of that hereafter, King Ethelbert died on the 24th day of the month of February, 21 years after he had received the faith, and was buried in St. Martin's Chapel, within the church of the blessed apostles Peter and Paul, where also lies his queen, Bertha. Among other benefits which he conferred among his nation in his care for them, he established for the help of his council of wise men judicial decisions after the Roman model, which are written in the language of the English and are still kept and observed by them. Among which he set down first what satisfaction should be given by any one who should steal anything belonging to the church, the bishop, or the other clergy, for he was resolved to give protection to those whom he had received along with their doctrine. This Ethelbert was the son of Irminric, whose father was Octa, whose father was Oeric, surname Oisc, from whom the kings of Kent were wont to be called Oisings. His father was Hengist, who, being invited by Vortigern, first came into Britain with his son Oisc, as has been said above. But after the death of Ethelbert, the accession of his son Eadbald proved very harmful to the still tender growth of the new church, for he not only refused to accept the faith of Christ, but was also defiled with such fornication, as the apostle testifies, as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife, by both which crimes he gave occasion to those to return to their former uncleanliness, who, under his father, had, either for favor or fear of the king, submitted to the laws of the faith and of a pure life. By both which crimes he gave occasion to those to return to their former uncleanliness, who, under his father, had, either for favor or fear of the king, submitted to the laws of the faith and of a pure life. Nor did the unbelieving king escape without the scourge of divine severity and chastisement and correction, for he was troubled with frequent fits of madness and possessed by an unclean spirit. The storm of this disturbance was increased by the death of Sabert, king of the East Saxons, who, departing to the heavenly kingdom, left three sons, still pagans, to inherit his temporal crown. They immediately began openly to give themselves up to idolatry, which, during their father's lifetime, they had seemed somewhat to abandon, and they granted free license to their subjects to serve idols. And when they saw the bishop, whilst celebrating Mass in the church, gave the Eucharist to the people, filled as they were with folly and ignorance, they said to him, as is commonly reported, "Why do you not give us a lot that white bread, which you used to give to our father Saba?" For so they were wont to call him, "and which you still continue to give to the people in the church?" To whom he answered, "If you will be washed in that font of salvation, in which your father was washed, you may also partake of the holy bread of which he partook. But if you despise the laver of life, you can in no wise receive the bread of life." They replied, "We will not enter into that font, because we know that we do not stand in need of it, and yet we will be refreshed by that bread." And being often earnestly admonished by him, that this could by no means be done, nor would any one be admitted to partake of the sacred oblation without the holy cleansing, at last they said, filled with rage, "If you will not comply with us in so small a matter as that which we require, you shall not stay in our province." And they drove him out and bade him and his company depart from the kingdom. Being driven thence, he came into Kent to take counsel with his fellow bishops, Laurentius and Justus, and learn what was to be done in that case. And with one consent, they determined that it was better for them all to return to their own country, where they might serve God in freedom of mind, than to continue to no purpose among barbarians who had revolted from the faith. Miletus and Justus accordingly went away first and withdrew to the parts of Gaul, intending there to await the event. But the kings, who had driven from them the herald of the truth, did not continue long unpunished in their worship of devils. For marching out to battle against the nation of the Gerizi, they were all slain with their army. Nevertheless, the people, having been once turned to wickedness, though the authors of it were destroyed, would not be corrected nor return to the unity of faith and charity which is in Christ. End of chapter 5, The Ecclesiastical History of England by the Venerable Bede.